Timmy just turned one, and that means we had to go. We took him to the doctor to get some shots.
Oh man, it's like for the first 3 years, it's like every appointment you're getting your kid poked with stuff. It's crazy.
He was not happy, but that was like the first time I had like a face-to-face conversation with an adult that's not my wife. And so, you know,
in
5 weeks.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, like, it really was like, when he's like, do you have any questions? I want to be like, just prolong this conversation.
Like, yes, I have questions about all the things. What can we talk about? Anything, all of it.
Yeah.
Please just interact with me. Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And we are exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, so...
In this special live version, it just occurred to me that I kind of have to watch my facial expressions now. Usually I can just roll my eyes at you anytime I want and then censor what I say, but now I have to be like, careful. All right.
Yeah, and I don't have power of editing when it's live to edit out anything that we're like, oh, that was weird. We don't want to say that. Yeah, so welcome.
We do have a bleep button, right? We got that ready to go.
Yeah, we got a bleep button ready to go. We'll see. I don't know how many people are listening in or watching or who will be watching in the future, but
who knows?
There you go. Who knows?
We're here.
Me and you.
And wherever two or three are gathered in Zoom, there a podcast shall be recorded. That's in the Bible.
Sure. That is scriptural.
Yep.
I did see that Amazon is sold out of podcast mics.
Wow.
That everybody's stuck at home and they're like,
let's start a podcast.
We were there. This is episode like number 81 or something.
Yeah,
like that
we're
for
cruising.
Us.
We're like,
we were ahead of the game.
Yeah. Podcast All pros right, so. Right here. I'm the one with the podcast mic that they can see in my shot right now because I stole it from your office from the church.
That's my personal mic. So, all right, let's keep going.
In my house now.
I do have some news.
All right, let's go.
Take a look at. All right, so our first bit of news here. Are you familiar with the WWE?
Like the world. No, wait. That's the WWF. Is the World Wildlife Foundation. WWE. That's wrestling. Yes, I am.
That is yes.
Clearly familiar with WWE.
Yes, clearly. Yeah. So wrestling. Yeah, it was WWF, but that was already World Wildlife Fund, and they got it taken from them. So WWE is to resume live tapings in Florida after being deemed an essential business.
All right.
The people need wrestling. It's essential. Okay?
Give me some more information.
Groceries.
Uh huh.
Pharmacy. Food. Wrestling.
You know, I get it. I don't know. What else are you gonna do? Every other sport has been canceled, so clearly the one where we're like all up in each other's grills for the entire time—that's the one that we should be allowed to do right now. That's the best option.
Yes, wrestling declared an essential business. Now I have a fondness for wrestling when I was like in elementary, middle school. That's like the late '80s, early '90s. Uh-huh. So I mean, we're talking the Hulk Hogan's, the Macho Man Randy Savage's,
sure.
Andre the Giant wrestlers. I do remember watching those as a kid and enjoying it. It is like, you know, soap operas for boys, I guess, is what I would probably classify
this. I watched Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride. That was my Andre the Giant
that's
experience.
That's a great movie. So yeah, there you go.
Quality. Yeah. I only don't get battle.
Yeah, and some of the wrestlers, I mean, the Rock was a professional wrestler, and he's like everybody's favorite person in the world, right?
That's true.
I like The Rock.
But I didn't like him when he was a wrestler, like when he started doing other stuff and showing that he actually knew how to do things. That's when I was like, The Rock's
well,
a cool
guy.
Well,
here's why. I have a
Dwayne
quote here.
The
why,
Rock Johnson.
Why wrestling is essential. Here's
All right,
why.
Let's hear.
As a brand that has been woven into the fabric of society,
uh-huh.
WWE and its superstars bring families together and deliver a sense of hope, determination, and perseverance.
All right. Well, you know... Good for them.
Everything about that sentence makes me laugh.
Which state was this again?
Florida.
Yeah, okay.
And by the way, this is if you're like, hey, which state made wrestling an essential business, and I gave you one guess, you'd probably land on Florida.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah,
like,
that's reasonable.
Yeah, woven in the fabric of society. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. WWE is just part of my daily life. I mean,
it's how I hold my family together. You know, we use it as our daily devotions here. We watch the highlights.
It's like we get all the kids to sit around. We gather around, sitting on the floor, watch our WWE. Who's going to win the Royal Rumble?
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah. Who's gonna take that belt? That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Is it a belt?
Yes.
Is
that a
thing? I don't even know.
I assume they're gonna bring in like maybe like some Corona themed villains in the heels. Some heels.
Seems that's appropriate. A yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Colonel
Look
Corona.
At you,
I
using
see
the
that.
Lingo.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colonel. So I could see that. Yeah. Any others? You got any others?
Any other heels that would come out of the Corona? Let's see. Captain COVID. I don't know. Do they use Captain still? Is that still a thing that they do?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Captain COVID. Yes.
Or, PPE or PPP just seems like a wrestling name. Like this is Triple P. That would be, those would be what
Triple
his name.
Triple P.
Yeah, his name would be Triple P. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd come out like in the blue scrubs with
a
face mask, and that would be the.
Sure. Yeah, I could definitely
but
see
But maybe
that.
He'd be
yeah.
the good guy. I don't know what the good guys are called. Not a heel, a foot, an ankle, knee. I don't know.
No. I knew it. I don't know. They're not heels. Yeah, heel's the bad guy. I don't know. I can't
Palm?
Remember the good guys.
I don't, what's the opposite of a heel? You're looking, I don't know.
All right, well, moving on. We're actually going to continue to talk about wrestling.
Why? Why are we doing this to me? Did I agree to this? Did we script this ahead of time?
We're going to talk about Hulk Hogan. Are you familiar with the Hulkster?
I am vaguely familiar with Hulk Hogan, yeah. Wasn't
it?
No, that was Stretch Armstrong. That wasn't Hulk Hogan. That was Stretch Armstrong. Never mind. Yeah.
All right, well, Hulk Hogan is now a Christian.
Okay.
So there you go.
Recently so, or...
I don't know. I do not follow the Hulkster's Twitter.
Okay.
I'm not a Hulkamaniac.
I mean, he could have been a Christian for like a long time, right?
Since birth. Yeah, I don't
we
know.
We have no idea.
But he's now a Christian, and he recently tweeted about coronavirus. And I wanted to get your opinion on some of these things.
I would love to give my opinion on the Hulk's opinion on coronavirus. Because if there's one thing I know about professional wrestlers, it's that they are definitely an informed opinion when it comes to worldwide pandemics. So I am ready to go.
Sure. Nuance, well thought out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've not been hit in the head with a folding chair multiple times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not
well,
recently,
Hulkamaniac.
Anyway. All right,
the Hulkster.
Let's
yes.
go. Yep.
Hulk Hogan, Captain Hulk, whatever his name is. He says, "Word up. Can you handle
wait,
my
wait, wait. He
handle
really
the
started
truth?
With word up. That's a real thing.
He really started with word up. Word up.
All right.
Can you handle the truth, my brother? Only love HH. Hulk Hogan. So,
okay.
I'm not going to do a Hulk Hogan impersonation.
That's
for
probably for
sake.
The best. Yeah.
In 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. All right. This is how we're starting here. Oh, this is on Instagram, not Twitter. Instagram.
Okay,
word
in
up.
In 3 short months, God has taken away everything that we worship. Okay.
Yes. Just like the plagues of Egypt. God has taken away everything we worship. Okay. I think
all
it's
right.
A, you know,
I mean,
it's a compelling thesis, you know, opening statement.
Yeah.
Here. I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
see where you're gonna go with this.
It's not at a point where I'm immediately gonna stop listening. I'm gonna say,
okay,
let's hear you out. Let's
hear
this out. Where
let's
this
goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. God said, "You want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You
okay.
want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want
mm-hmm.
to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church."
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there you go. That's kind of his start
so,
here.
So here's
let's
my
start
thought.
On that. Well,
yeah, here's my thought on this. There are some elements of this that I can get behind, but I feel like the Hulk and I. Can I call him the Hulk? Is that the appropriate nomenclature there? Mr. Hogan and I, Sir
Mr.
Hogan,
Hogan,
Sir Hogan.
Yeah.
I think Sir Hogan and I would disagree on the underlying principles that are bringing these things about, like. You know, if we were to say, should we be worshiping athletes, money, whatever the other stuff was that he mentioned, I think that we are in a time where we are realizing just how crucial it is to focus on what's really important, right? To re-center our spiritual lives on saying, you know, I probably was paying too much attention to an athlete mm-hmm. that I have no actual connection to, or I probably was giving too much money to X, Y, or Z, or spending too much time and worried about my financial situation or whatever. I think those are good things. But it mm-hmm. feels like Sir Hogan's underlying principle is that God brought about the coronavirus
yeah.
in order to do this thing. And there, I think...
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident in this one. I definitely don't believe that, and I think Sir Hogan and I have a disagreement in that, God is able to bring about good things out of terrible things, and I think we've said this on the podcast before, you know, the fact that God brings something good out of something terrible does not mean that God caused something terrible. And it seems like Sir Hogan is in the God is causing this terrible thing, as God did in the plagues of Egypt. Also, currently, none of us are being set free from slavery.
Yes, so I'm gonna put a pause on your thing here, because I think there's two parts that I think we need to get into based on what you were saying. Two parts. So the first part is, one, does coronavirus or an event like this draw out the American gods and force us to examine them in a new light? And I do think he is trying to get at that. So does this coronavirus draw out who or what we consider gods in America, are false idols, and force us to consider them in new light? And there, I am in agreement.
Sir Hogan and I are lockstep. I get it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think that that is something that that is part of it. Right.
You know, if you take that, even that, just that second portion of the statement, right, where he's just saying, you worship this, I'm going to take this away. You worship this, I'm going to take this away. It sounds like one of the prophets, right? I mean, you could read that and be like, oh, yeah, that sounds like Malachi, or that sounds like Hosea. Like, I mean, it feels like, yeah, that's something God wants us to do, is to recenter our lives on God and on worshiping God appropriately rather than on worshiping whatever.
Yeah.
Right? That feels genuine and authentically biblical, even.
Absolutely. Like, a few weeks ago during our Lenten services, I gave our sermon that night, and we had already lined this up way before we knew we were going to be socially distancing and presenting these things online and things like that. But we were going through Israel's journey, speaking of the Israelites' 12 plagues, Israel's journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, and touching in on a few highlights or milestones on those journeys.
Yeah.
And so the milestone I was looking at was this is a story where Moses goes up to this mountain to converse with God, get the Ten Commandments, figure out how Israel is supposed to now become a nation, not just a group wandering through the desert, what it was going to look like. And while he was up there, everybody else delivered from Egypt says, you know, this Moses guy, I don't know when he's coming back. Let's build a new God.
Obviously.
And they, like you do. And they take all their earrings and gold jewelry, melt it down, and make a big golden calf. And Aaron, Moses' brother, says, Israel, look, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt. Here's your God, right here, this golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the points that I was looking at during my sermon that I think is similar to this idea of, like, this is drawing out our gods or are challenging our idols, is if you have a golden god and you travel to wherever you are, through the jungles, through the wilderness, through the desert, towards the promised land, every tribe and army that you meet, or a group of marauders, is going to want to capture your golden god because it's valuable, because it's something important. So instead of your god protecting you, it quickly turns into, we have to protect our God.
Yeah,
that this is no longer a God that delivers me. It's a God I have to protect. And that, I think, is something that happens during this thing, is it forces us to examine what are the American gods that are being drawn out. And now in our fear, in our anxiety, in our stress, which are all very, very high, do we say, oh my gosh, we have to find a way to protect these gods
or else...
we're going to be in trouble. Because what happens if these gods fail? What can we do? And so, you know, this, he kind of mentions, like, athletes, movie stars, things like that. And I think there's a sense of idolatry there. But I think where he comes up short is he doesn't really go at, I think, the real gods and the real idols that are penetrating our life and that get in there and kind of sneak their way into our hearts, where we don't even fully know they're there until maybe something like this makes them reveal their ugly heads, in a sense.
Yeah,
does that make sense? Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I would agree. I mean, I wasn't necessarily looking to Sir Hogan to give us the full spectrum. I think he is pushing in an appropriate direction to some extent, and we can talk about that. I think we have been talking about that. And I hear what you're saying about gods and turning that around to where we have to protect our God. I think that's a valuable thing to think about. Like, if we if we're in our homes and we're saying, what is it that I most value and that I most need to protect versus what am I relying on to protect me? There's an element of that thing becoming our God. I mean, it's not a perfect equation, because I think, you know, we're all in situations where we're trying to protect our families or we're trying to protect people we care about, which is appropriate. But even that can become a God. Like, you know, protecting our family can be an idol that prevents us from allowing God to protect us as well. And that's a fine line, and it's tricky.
I definitely think, you know, probably the most nefarious of all of the idols in our culture and in our world and our lives are the ones that start off as a good thing and that quickly we elevate them to the best thing.
Yeah.
So like, instead of putting them where they should be, we elevate them even higher. And that is where I think we get into trouble. I think that's where it's the hardest to see that that's an idol. Like, being told, like, greed is an idol, being told that, you know, wanting to be famous as an idol, those seem like, okay, yeah, I get it, because we all on the surface know there's elements there that are, well, wrong. But feeling like, hey, your sense of control over your own life, that's your idol. The way you've lifted up your career, that's your idol. The way even potentially your own family, that's your idol. That makes it much more harder to be like, is that the God in my life? Is that the true thing that my life is worshiping? And if that's taken away, does everything else collapse on me? It's putting something good in the place of what God should be.
Yeah.
And I think that is, you know, a place that can be difficult to one, see, and two, remedy. And so I think that this does create maybe some tension in our lives, because, well, our gods are fighting, you know, in a sense, like my idol and my God are at odds and fighting, because I don't know what I'm really having to do. And that maybe leads to people hoarding groceries because their God is control, or their God is I got to make sure mine are protected, versus the Christian lifestyle of making sure my community and my neighbor is protected, you know, and starting there. And so I think that does bring about kind of that sense of coronavirus does bring our gods into the light.
I like that image, because, you know, if you go back and look at the ancient world and you look at the Iliad and the Odyssey, right, the story behind the Trojan War, that is the story, or the kind of foundation of the Odyssey, is that gods were warring. You know, there were the gods of Troy and there were the gods of Greece, and those gods were fighting, and so their countries were fighting. And that was how people understood who won a battle and who didn't win a battle was gods that would protect them and would beat another god. And so if my people beat your people, then my God was stronger than your God. And if we put that into our modern context, if I can hoard more toilet paper, right, if I can hold on to that sense of control, then my God of control is more powerful than your God of sacrifice, or your God of asking me to give up something for my neighbor. If I can have my liberty or have my freedom, my sense of my God of freedom, if we want to call it that, I think we can call freedom a God in a sense, that's more powerful than your God of what we might say is fear, or what we might say is, I don't know how to phrase what I'm getting at there. This is probably a part where we'd normally cut it out. That's all right. But yeah, I think, you know, we still see the warring gods, right? And once upon a time, we saw that play out in countries battling one another, and now we're just seeing it play out in our individual lives. That's what I should have said the first time.
No, I think we got there. It's good. So I do agree with him on that. So I think that first point, I do think has merit and value there. Again, I think he maybe limiting it or kind of reducing it to a more simplified version.
Sure.
But I do think there's merit and value there of coronavirus reveals our gods and also removes some of them from our life, and that can leave us in anxiety and tension.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that the first step. And then we also have the second point that I think we wanted to take a look at too, and that is God, so, and this is first thing, in 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. And so I do want to look at that, of God has taken away everything we worship. Because this, the Hulkamaniac here, the Hulkster, is directly attributing that the coronavirus has spread or exists because of God. Like, it's God-ordained virus, in a sense. God has brought this into the world. So that, I think, is really the part where the Hulk might lose me, and I think is going to lose you, too. You've already kind of mentioned this at the top here, but recap that, what you're saying here about God has brought that.
Yeah. Right. Well, I, you know, and we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I think it's worth repeating, right, that God has an ability... God has a power and has demonstrated this ability to bring good out of terrible situations, right? Over and over throughout scripture and throughout history, we have seen ways in which God brings things that are good out of awful situations. That does not mean that God caused the awful situation. We often draw an inappropriate conclusion. What's that difference when you get a correlation and causation, right? We often draw an inappropriate causation when in fact there's a correlation. There's a correlation of terrible things happening and God bringing about something good. That does not mean that those things are causal and that God is, in fact, the cause behind that. I think the underlying cause of this stuff, if we really just want to look back to scripture and back to where we're at as a society, right? Bad stuff exists in the world at its root because of sin.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, oh, I'm sinful, so now there's coronavirus. No, but as a humanity, we have existed in a state of sin since creation, and because of that state of sin, stuff in the world is not the way God intended it to be. Mm-hmm. And so bad stuff happens. So wars happen, and so everything else that goes along with that happens. That's just a piece of the puzzle that fits. And it's not to dismiss how painful it is or dismiss how important it is to think about it, but we have to be willing to take some responsibility in this, right? The reality is bad stuff exists in the world because we are at some level bad.
Yeah.
We were created to be good. We were created to do good, but at some level we have chosen not to do those things. And so bad stuff exists.
Yeah. And I think what's difficult about this, and I'm not sure, I don't know if we've talked about this in the podcast before or not. Like I said at the top, we're like 80 episodes into this thing. They're kind of blending together in a bit. You know, we've been doing this for about a year and a half. In the Bible, in scripture, there are times where a disaster happens that is attributed directly to the hand of God. And even as Hulk Hogan mentioned at the top, the plagues of Egypt, directly attributed to the hands of God. This is God at work controlling plague, controlling animals, controlling blood, controlling all these different weird things that are happening attributed directly to God. But I do think we get in the problem then of we look at every disaster or every plague or everything and then attribute it to God from our perspective. Because it has happened in scripture does not mean every one of them does happen. It kind of reminds me of, you know, like in scripture, like a lot of times, like we'll get like a glimpse behind the scenes of like the why do things happen? And oftentimes there's not a clear thread of like everything is the exact same reason of why a suffering or a bad thing happened. In Job, it's like a bad thing happened because of this kind of like weird cosmic bet between God and Satan or the accuser. Then we have this time where Jesus will heal a man born blind and the disciples are like, hey, who sinned? Him or his parents, and Jesus will say, nobody, this is happening so that God can be revealed in this time. All right, so I think that both those things kind of give us like, those are all very different reasons of why God could be bringing about something bad. So can God use a plague to challenge our gods? Yes. Can God use a plague to draw us back to him? Yes. But I do think it's dangerous to say, this is God's hand at work because we don't know. And I think it'd be unfair to God to put that out there into the world to say, hey, here's your handiwork. And God is like, this ain't me. This is just bad things happen because bad things happen. And in reality, bad things happen because people made bad decisions. And now here we are. And it's not my, you know, it's not always God's job to like clean up our messes every time we make one. Not to say God doesn't, and not to say God does bring goodness, healing, peace out of those messes. But that doesn't mean God says, if you drive without your seatbelt, I'm obligated to keep you from crashing. Like, even if God cares and loves for us, that's just not the way it works.
Yeah. There's a really great episode of The Simpsons that I happened to be rewatching the other day where Homer gives up on faith, right? He's decided, I'm not going to go to church on Sundays. And so he is on his couch and falls asleep, and the house catches on fire while everybody else is on church. And his neighbor, who's the goody-two-shoes Christian, Ned Flanders, runs in to rescue him and eventually has to get him up to the second-story window and throws out a mattress and prays, God, may your merciful hand guide Homer to this mattress square and true, because Homer's passed out. And so he pushes Homer's body out the window, and Homer bounces off the mattress and bounces back into the house. So it's kind of like, we both pray for God to do these things, and we have to be aware there are ramifications of our actions in this world. Yeah. Even if what we pray for seems to have come true, may or may not be the hand of God that's completely at work in that sense.
All right. Before we wrap up here, I do have one last thing that Hulk Hogan wrote on his thing. I think this is also going to have a little mixed bag for us here.
Okay.
But I don't know if we're going to spend so much time here. This is how he concludes. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distances of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus. All right, this is his conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So we got his beginning, and now we got the conclusion here. What do you think?
I have two thoughts. The first is, I'm all for us focusing on the one thing that really matters. That sounds great. We should do that, regardless of whatever else is going on in the world. Yeah, that's a thing we should do. I don't think that the development of a vaccine prevents us from doing that. Right. I am no less able to focus on the goodness of God because I received a polio vaccine. I'm no less able to think about the goodness of God because I received my measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine when I was a kid, or my Tdap thing, I think is what they do now. I'm no less able to acknowledge the goodness of God. If anything, it allows me to celebrate the ways in which God continues to work through modern medicine and through the scientists and the doctors who make these things available. And I realize there are people who do not, I don't want to say believe in vaccines, because I don't know how you believe in, but they don't think vaccines are the best option. And I have no idea if vaccines are going to be the best option for COVID-19. I'm not a medical professional. That's not my bag.
Sure.
But I do know that if a vaccine is deemed safe by people who are professionals, that is not going to make me more or less able to give all my attention to God. And if that is, then we're maybe not thinking about – if that's the thing that's stopping you from giving all your attention to God, you're like, oh, well, now there's a vaccine, so I don't have to care about God anymore. I think maybe we're missing the point.
I'm 100% with you there. I think this can be a time of personal revival. It can be a time of personal acknowledging, hey, man, I was really engaged in this form of spiritual idol worship that I was not even aware of, and that this brought it to light, and now I want to reconnect with Jesus, and I want to reconnect with God in this place, and pray that there's a cure coming, and that there is resolution, and that both those things are not mutually exclusive.
I think this is going to get off Hulk Hogan a little bit, and maybe this is just me, starved for interaction. But I think the thing that's bothering me most about what I'm watching take place on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram, wherever, just taking place in the world, is this idea that's being promoted by Christians. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but this idea of being promoted by Christians, but by following a stay-at-home order, or by following social distance guidelines, or by following an ethic that allows us to care for our neighbor, that means we are limiting our faith in God.
Yeah.
And that is just infuriating to me, to think that taking actions that cause me a little bit of sacrifice and allow me to show love for my neighbor is being viewed as preventing me from loving God, or evidence that I'm not fully loving God or not giving my full faith to God. It boggles my mind. And so if you're listening, either now or when this thing goes live next week, you know, if you're listening to this and you've been thinking to yourself, everywhere I turn, people are telling me that I need to have more faith in God. God gives you the faith you need. You have the faith that you need. God has given you the faith that you need. And loving your neighbor is an act of faith.
Yeah.
And that is an okay thing. And you don't have to have all the perfect answers. I don't need you to follow all the perfect guidelines. I don't have any idea what the best way to reopen the economy is. That is not my specialty, right? As little as of a medical doctor I am even less of an economist. I trust other people to guide that process. But I can say this, loving your neighbor is never not faithful.
Yeah. Amen.
Sorry, soapbox over. I'll get off of that.
No, I think that that gives us a good, I think, conclusion to this. So Hulk Hogan theology, I think we can say, a little bit of mixed bag. There's things there we can say.
Are we surprised by that? Are we surprised that Sir Hogan's theology was a mixed bag?
Well, I am surprised it's a mixed bag. I expected it to be completely wrong.
Fair enough. I actually know nothing about wrestling, but wasn't Hulk Hogan, didn't he like start as a heel and then become a good guy or whatever? So
Hulk Hogan was always a good guy. He was a good guy. But then in the mid-90s, he did a heel turn and became a bad guy. Here's my wrestling knowledge. This is like the last I was watching wrestling. He joined the NWO, the New World Order.
Look out.
And he was one of the bad guys. I think it was like him and like The Undertaker and Sting. And they were the bad guys for
Sting
a bit.
Sting was a musician, Patrick.
Same guy.
Okay. So the police were with us.
And then Hulk Hogan, I think before he retired, came back and became a good guy again.
So all this to say, Sir Hogan's theology, much like his wrestling career, a bit of a mixed bag.
Back and forth.
There we go. It's a swing.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. Before we wrap up, I actually have a recommendation.
Oh, let's do it. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah, this is a book. It's a secular book by Neil Gaiman, who's like a fantasy author, a British fantasy author. And he wrote a novel that I read a few years ago called, funny enough, American Gods. And it's a pretty interesting read, kind of about this thing that we've been talking about, like old gods that people used to worship are fading and new American gods are on the rise. And those groups of gods are going to go to battle against one another.
Okay.
So there are the, Roman and Greek gods, like, you know, Zeus, Ares, things like that are rising to battle against the new gods of America, of entertainment, politics, things like that. So our new gods, and it's kind of like this interesting battle and wrapped up in this human character who just got out of prison. And so he's kind of wrapped up in this. So
Percy Jackson, is that it? Is that the guy?
Not Percy Jackson. Oh, yes. Okay. But Percy Jackson does have a fictional god slant.
Right. That's why I was throwing that out, because it was the only character.
So anyway, American Gods.
American Gods.
There was a TV series on Stars, I think, but I never watched it, so I can't speak to it. It's good. But I did enjoy the book. It's interesting. All right. Nice. But where can you find us if you liked what you're hearing?
If you liked what you're hearing and you want to share it with other people who are also in their house looking for things to listen to, you can find us wherever appropriately socially distanced podcasts are available. Apple, iTunes, Google Play, the Spotify, all the places. You can, of course, find all of our episodes, all 80-something of our episodes, on our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com. And you can find us here, live, on our Facebook page periodically, Beyond Sunday Podcast on Facebook. You never know when we're going to show up in your feed at 9:30 at night, because that's when our kids are asleep and we can do this. So, such is life.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. And let us know if you were watching in the live show, or I think this stays up for like 24 hours, something like that. So if you watched it at all, let us know. We want to know if you like the live show, seeing our faces in our homes.
Or if the podcast is better if no one sees our face, which I would also understand.
Yeah. You've got a face for podcasting.
Yeah. That's right. Let's just say we did a podcast rather than a video for a reason when the cell started.
we did 80 episodes, not seeing us. All right, well, have a great week, everybody, and we will see you next Monday or Thursday, whenever this is happening.
Sometime.
We'll see you when we see you.
There it is.